Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks to Pete for the update. Will Hobson is on the show at 1. He writes for the Washington Post. He did the investigative journalism into the lack of investigation for the Redskins on Reuben Foster that was published in the Post yesterday. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz. Chris Russell is our Redskins insider. Chris, I'm sure by now you are plugged in on what's going on with Alex Smith. Sounds like major complications for him being reported by, among others, Eric Bickle, who is hearing things from people. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network has now joined the conversation. What have you heard, and what do you think about this?
Well, you know, all along, I'm sure we all have heard that there are some concerns and some lack of clarity and some questions moving forward. We saw the timeline change rapidly, at least publicly. Of course, the Redskins denied any knowledge of that and any information on that because, of course, when you only make Jay Gruden available and you say, oh, yeah, we'll get you Larry Hess, and that never happens, that was just their way of kind of dismissing it. So all along you heard that there were some concerns and some questions, but I could never really get any clarity. And, you know, I would just tell you, and talking to some people, the belief is that this is absolutely very serious. This is absolutely very concerning. And there is no question his career, never mind next year, his career is in doubt.
I had a tweeter, I'm at Funny Danny Grant at Grant H. Paulson, who put this perfectly. A month ago, we were complaining about they were winning ugly, and was it sustainable? Look at what's happened in a month. Look at where the conversation is. And to that end, Russell, the other fire that's burning very bright, all the alarms are going off in all the municipalities, is this Reuben Foster situation.
Yep.
It could have been quelled, I think, if the Redskins done the right thing at any point or had a lucid statement that actually was true and showed due diligence, but they haven't. Where are we at now with this? I know the latest is his accuser was on Good Morning America, and the Redskins are still saying, no, we gave a statement, 11 days ago. We're going with that, despite the fact that there are pictures of the bruises now. Where are we on this?
Yeah, and unless I misinterpreted what she was saying, and maybe I did, but I don't think I did, she directly contradicted the story that she apparently cooked up to try and protect Reuben Foster the last time, right? Because that was what everybody was hanging on to, was that, oh, she lied. She said, you know, that she cooked up this scheme to get money out of him. Well, she directly contradicted that.
She said on Good Morning America today that she lied. She said, I lied on the stand because her point was because I was trying to help him and do right by him.
Right. So now we don't know. Does that mean she was, she seems to lie a lot, right? But I don't know what the truth is. All I know was whatever happened down in Tampa and whatever has happened in the past is enough for me to be more than alarmed, more than concerned, more than frustrated, more than wondering what the hell is going on here, A, between you two guys. And B, of course, we all question and have every right to question the investigation or the knowledge before making the claim by the Washington Redskins. The bottom line is we all know that, Grant, you and I know far too well from being in that building a lot, that things just aren't done normally around there. And I'm trying to be as kind and as conservative as I possibly can. The bottom line is this. I don't know if she's 100% telling the truth. I don't know. I would have never signed this guy, even though I thought it was a good football move. And I still think it's a good football move because they have major issues at his position. But the bottom line is this is another nightmare, another embarrassment, another episode, another chapter for an organization that just cannot take any more of this nonsense. Cannot.
Russell, by the way, they got to play football this weekend.
Yeah.
There's still games on the schedule. The Giants come to town. What are you expecting here this weekend? They'll be on. I think you may be getting a tryout at guard. I mean, this is a collapsed petting zoo under a circus tent. I mean, it's such a yard sale, but they've got to play a game. What do we expect?
What I expect is Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley to have a lot of success. Now, the question will be for me whether it happens in the red zone or whether it just happens, you know, from 10-yard line to 10-yard line, because that seems to be where all the damage is incurred. And the Redskins, the one good positive thing right now is they seem to be able to, for the most part, fend off teams that are running up and down the floor on them or up and down the field on them. They seem to fend them off from time to time inside the red zone or goal-to-go situations like we saw in Philadelphia. So that's the question. I would just throw this, guys. In, you know, everybody's talking about third down defense, and they've been terrible in that area, and everybody's going to talk about this or that. Their rush defense has been brutal the last five games. They're allowing almost 135 yards per game in the first seven games on the same amount of attempts. Oh, by the way, as the last five games, they were averaging 80.1 yards per game and 384 yards per attempt. It's now 4.6 yards per attempt in the last five games. So that's where it starts and ends, in my opinion, and what leads to the third down problems and what's going to lead to probably a loss against a very talented duo for the Giants.
Thank you, Slash Arena. We appreciate the intel.
Thank you, guys.
See you, bro.
Let's talk a little hockey. Caps back in action tonight. Have had a day off to think about consecutive losses. Brian McNally joins us where the Caps are out west in Arizona. Drop of the puck, 9 o'clock East time this evening, right here on 106.7 The Fan. Brian, latest on Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson, we'll get an update here in about an hour, I think, Grant. They are in Phoenix, so morning skate today. They were full off in Phoenix yesterday. He obviously looked woozy, didn't look great coming off the ice. Something you almost never see. I can't remember a time in my career. Tom Wilson's obviously been around almost 6 years now where he got knocked out that strongly. Ryan Reeves is a tough character, obviously, so we'll get an update on him today and see if he's in the lineup tonight.
Brian, it's, you know, during this winning streak or winning 7 of 8, you saw what the Caps can do, playing great defense, limiting high, juicy scoring chances, so to speak. Last two games, 11 goals allowed. I know there's an empty netter in there, but defensively, they haven't looked the same here these last couple games as they let Anaheim come furiously back and Vegas here the other night. The floodgates open a little bit. What are you seeing, and what's the difference between when it's good and when it's bad?
It's interesting because the other night they were actually really, really good 5-on-5, Danny. That was the thing. I think they only allowed 13 shots 5-on-5. The penalty kill got them a little bit in that game. Great atmosphere, obviously. Great. That arena is awesome. It's rocking. I was live there in person. It was phenomenal to watch. Could have fit in with any of those Stanley Cup games last year. I think they're okay. I still think they're getting better in that area. They're more sound defensively than they were, during some of those games in October where they looked a little disinterested and nowhere near as strong as they've looked the past couple of weeks. So I think they come out of the Vegas game. They're still angry about the Anaheim game. That's not a game you should ever just punt away the 2 points. But I think they actually came out of the Tuesday night game feeling okay with how they played. I mean, that was an even game. They felt they were better at even strength. So special teams cost them, and for the Caps, especially on the power play, they're always going to feel like they're better. And they felt like their power play let them down that game as well. So we'll see if they bounce back tonight, likely with Phoenix Copley in net.
Let's talk Phoenix Copley in tonight. What will people hear when they turn on 106.7 The Fan at game time? What should they expect from the Coyotes?
Yeah, I mean, the Coyotes, I think, for a long time, guys, were a team. You just chalk that up as a win. You figure that's it's an organization going nowhere. But they're starting to accumulate young assets. It's a pretty talented team. They've got some good defensemen. This is not an automatic win by any means. This is a pretty tough road trip for the Caps. The Coyotes have played pretty well here lately also. So it's kind of a trap game. You got Columbus coming up on Saturday. That's kind of the top two teams in the Metropolitan Division. After losing two in a row, this is one you kind of want to feel good about yourself on the long flight halfway across the country to Columbus. So, it's not one they can take for granted, though. The Coyotes, their record might not be all that impressive, but they've won 4 in a row. and they're a team you can kind of start to see them putting things together. So tough one for the Caps tonight, and in a building they sometimes struggle in.
Brian, appreciate you, buddy. Let's talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank
you. See you, man.
There's Brian McNally. Check him out on NBCSportsWashington.com and the My Teams app. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. There is a lot of Redskins news today coming out of the park. We'll also get into what players on this team are deserving of the Pro Bowl. One of the first updates of fan voting is out. You're listening.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The first batch of Pro Bowl voting results from fans came back. And they'll update this several times throughout the process. And Drew Brees was the number one vote getter, according to the fans that are voting. They do it in a weird way now, too. I think it has to do with Twitter hashtags and, like, social media involvement. Have you seen that?
Yeah, they're trying to be as new age as you can be. It's not as bad as Major League Baseball, and I love baseball, obviously, but Major League Baseball is like, you guys, it's like the old man turning his hat around backwards. Like, use a Twitter hashtag to vote for your favorite player.
What Thommy was telling me was, if there's a hashtag, so say Trent Williams is hashtagged as a Pro Bowl vote, and he retweets it or favorites it, then that's a vote as well. So the whole thing is weird to me.
That's very weird.
That's how they're doing it, and the Pro Bowl doesn't matter anyway.
They love businesses, by the way. They love like hiring people for like social media engagement coordinator. I mean, the dude they're trying to get retweets. You know what I mean? Like that's really what we're talking about.
Drew Brees is deserving. I don't care if you're tweeting him, hashtagging him, or just putting a piece of paper in an actual box in a ballot.
He's excellent.
30 touchdowns, 3 picks this year. 33 touchdown interception ratio.
That's pretty good.
Rating of 123. He will end up with somewhere around 4,500 passing yards and probably 42 touchdowns. Something like that.
Just casually.
He is a Hall of Famer, walking among us, first ballot, one of the great quarterbacks who's ever lived.
Just glad he learned how to win. After those 3 years, he forgot how to win, and quarterback wins. They were 7-9 three straight years, so he's not a winner. He's not good, Grant, because he had a bad record.
Well, now he's a winner.
For 3 years. No, he is now. He was before, then he forgot, then he remembered again. Two straight years, he's been good. So I'd like you to remember quarterback records, the best way to judge.
That's true. For those 3 years where he forgot how to win, it was hard to, watch him, you know, because he was only putting up very similar numbers and doing some of the exact same things he'd always done.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with what was going on around him.
But then at the end of games, he just forgot to touch the button that made him a winner, though.
Yeah, that's what quarterbacks do. They win the game, Grant. Did he win the game?
He is now. So he's a Pro Bowler. We know that. What Redskins should absolutely be Pro Bowlers? Here's how I think we should pose this question. And we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines on this at 800-636-1067 for some feedback. As we put together this list, you guys can help us kind of jock the memories of early, mid, late season, how this has gone and who's deserving. 800-636-1067. But the guy that, if they're not a Pro Bowler, as far as the Redskins are concerned, they got shafted, it was wrong, the process doesn't work. Because I was thinking about this last night. I don't know that there's a single player on the team that I would feel like got robbed if they don't make the Pro Bowl. There are some guys I'd like to see get to the Pro Bowl. There are some guys that I think are deserving, you know, borderline Pro Bowlers that I would like to see get in. But I don't remember a single year where I feel like there is a Redskin that absolutely, unequivocally must be a Pro Bowler. The closest guy to that, there's probably two of them that jump out right away. DJ Swearinger and Tress Way.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Swearinger at safety has had a huge first half to the season, but he's been a lot quieter of late.
Oh, he has been.
He has not done nearly as much, made nearly as many plays. That said, I think he put enough hay in the barn early on. And if you're just comparing him to the other safeties in the conference, which to me is what you have to do. It's not just a matter of how have they performed, but how many guys have been as good or better than them. I think Swearinger's been one of the best two, three safeties in the NFC this year. That said, he should probably be in the Pro Bowl. But am I going to stand on the table or ride or die or scream and die on a hill that he's got to be there?
Yeah, like if some other safety for an elite defense gets to go.
Right.
I think he should be there, by the way. So the reason I would the argument I would make to stump for DJ Swearinger, like if I'm Larry Michael arguing for Joe Jacoby at the Hall of Fame, right? If I got to stump for DJ Swearinger, I would go, nobody else in the NFL has equaled his combination of interceptions and fumbles forced.
Right.
Nobody has. That's not hyperbole. Nobody has. He is the number one. You add in the fact that he has a sack as well. There it is. There's your playmaker. There's your guy that has done more than anybody else. But again, if you pick a free safety or a strong safety from a defense that's top five in the game and shoving it on people, I'm not going to fight you. I'd add Adrian Peterson to that, though. I think he deserves to go.
Let me double down on Swearinger for a second, because I agree with what you just said about Swearinger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Swearinger against the Falcons in week 9 is kind of where his season changed. He didn't show up on the stat sheet that day. You
crazy,
remember that?
Isn't that crazy?
He didn't have a tackle. He didn't have a pass defended. He literally, if you look at his stats that day, it says one game started and then there is nothing else. It was as if he didn't play. He was on the field every snap. The next week against the Bucs, he made 2 pass breakups, which is a lot, by the way. You know, in a good season, you're probably breaking up 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
To break up 2 in a game is a real big deal. Made 3 tackles. So that was an okay game. That was fine. In the 3 weeks since, he has not been that noticeable. Against the Cowboys, he struggled. The entire secondary did. Against the Eagles, he made 4 tackles and didn't make any plays that altered the game. So my point is just that's a sample now of 5 games when the Redskins have played 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost half the season. I happen to think he was so good in the first 7 games that he should be in the Pro Bowl. I'm with you. And I would vote him to the Pro Bowl, and I think Redskins fans should take care of him, and I think he's deserving and he's earned it. My point is, I don't lose sleep over him not getting in if he doesn't pick it back up. If he has a 4-game stretch to close like he had the first 4 games of the year and he doesn't get in, then I'm going to come on the show and say this is a absolute unfair, unjust sports travesty that this guy's not playing in the Pro Bowl.
Tied for 16th in passes defended. 3rd in the league in interceptions, tied again, and 8th in fumbles forced. That's all one person. That's not Luke Kuechly. That's not some other safety. That's him. Nobody else has that combination.
All right, so let's get to Adrian Peterson then, who you just brought up. So Adrian Peterson, I think for a position like running back, what you've got to do is not just look at performance or yards or any of that, but you comp a guy to the other players in his conference, right? Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson has 856 rushing yards right now. In the NFC, Gurley has more, 1,100. Elliott has more, 1,150.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley has more, 950. And McCaffrey has more, 863. So Adrian Peterson is number 5 in rushing yards in the conference. Now, you say, well, that doesn't mean anything because maybe he doesn't get as many carries as those other guys. He's got more carries than McCaffrey. He's got about the exact same number of carries as Saquon Barkley, less carries than Gurley and Elliott. Look at yards per attempt. He's at 4.5. McCaffrey's over 5. Barkley's over 4.9. Elliott's at 4.8. Gurley's at 5.0. So there's really yards per game. He's got 71.3. McCaffrey is at 72. Barkley's at 80. Elliott's at 96. Gurley's at 98. He's been the 5th best running back basically in the NFC.
Yeah.
If you want to put him over the next guy in line, which would be David Johnson, and I think that's probably deserving.
Mm-hmm.
Do 5 running backs make it? They don't.
No.
So that, to me, means he's not a Pro Bowler.
No, it's. But again, I would stump for it. But again, that's one of those. You start to go down the list. He's got more rushing yards than Alvin Kamara. Who's a better player, Alvin Kamara or Adrian Peterson?
And I didn't even get to Alvin Kamara.
I know.
We're saying he's not a Pro Bowler because Adrian Peterson's got more rushing yards. But based on what I just said, how can you make the case for him going to the Pro Bowl?
So you figure, you know, the Rams will be playing. You figure, the McCaffrey can't make it, or maybe we'll decline.
Oh, like, so you're saying he might get in.
He'll end up being a Pro Bowl.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm saying I'm not going to stump for him beyond that.
Okay.
Hey, he'd be a nice nominee.
Because you brought him up as a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I would say he's got a good chance to be a Pro Bowler. That is not a guy.
But you're not saying he's deserving of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, if I get my one vote, it's on DJ Swearinger. He's had an incredible season that most people don't have in this league. If I'm betting on guys that might end up in the Pro Bowl, I would put Peterson in there. The other guy is Tressway, as you touched on before.
Tressway, who's having a career year, and by the way, I mean, it's everyone takes it as a big joke, and it's a funny thing, and we'll all make the same Twitter comments about how the punter is the MVP, he's the best player. he's having a marvelous campaign.
Incredible.
He has downed 33 punts inside the 20 without a single touchback. I don't know that people understand how insane that really is. By the way, there's four games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He has equaled his number of punts inside the 20 already from last year, which was a career high by 12. So four games to go, he could end up somewhere around 45 punts inside the 20. Still doesn't have a single touchback. One of the craziest streaks in football right now. He's averaging 44.2 per. The more important number that coaches care about is net average.
Yep.
Because you can punt the heck out of the ball for 55 yards, outpunt your coverage, they get a big return, and it doesn't mean that you had the hang time and things that you're looking for. His net average, shocker, the highest it's ever been, almost 42 yards in net, which is a big time. You want to be over 40, you know, over 41 and a half is pretty darn good. That's where he's at right now.
Could you get down with Dustin Hopkins making it?
See, that's where I've got to start looking around the conference because I just don't follow kickers close enough.
So a couple guys having great years in the NFC. Aldrick Rosas in New York.
That guy is having a hell of a year.
26 out of 27 on field goals.
Yeah, he's had a better year than Hopkins. And normally only get one kicker at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. So you start looking at Brett Maher.
By the way,
Matt
how about
Prater?
The Cowboys making a great decision?
Yeah.
They moved on from Dan Bailey, who was the most accurate kicker ever after an injury, struggled last year. Now, Maher, I thought, has missed a few kicks. He missed a kick to beat to tie the Redskins at the end of the game.
24 for 48 over the course of the year, but is...
24 for 4, not 48.
What did I say? 24 for 28, excuse me.
I wish it was 24 for 48.
50% is very 1981. That's very Ali Haji chic.
So Hopkins probably a little bit better than him then. Well, what does it say, though? How about this?
I know.
We're saying which Redskins have to go to the Pro Bowl, and you and I are spending time talking about the punter, the kicker, and then one position player.
Kerrigan can end up there if he ends up, you know, 10 and a half, 11 sacks, just as it usually happens.
I would have said Ioannidis for sure, and if he plays the last five games and he plays in 15, I would make Ioannidis maybe my number one stumping case if he gets up around 9 sacks or something like that as a down defensive lineman. Now, John Allen could be in the conversation, but if Ioannidis is hurt and misses a few more games, and guys start catching up to him in terms of production, then I don't know if that's a hill you die on. We'll take calls next. We need your participation, though, because we're struggling here. DJ Swearinger should make the Pro Bowl. Maybe Tress Way. Would love to see people support him in this fan base. Any other Redskins that should be playing in the Pro Bowl at the end of the year? Grant and Danny in the fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This should tell you everything you need to know about the temperature of this fan base right now. We're asking you what Redskin you would stump for to get to the Pro Bowl, and the people on hold want to talk about the punter. 800-636-1067. Eric in Woodbridge, who's deserving of getting the nod for the Redskins this year as a Pro Bowler?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I'm going to have to give my nod to Tress Way, and here's why. Okay, this isn't his first year. He's been booting it for a couple of years, but like you guys said with the analytics, he's killing it this year. And football is the ultimate team sport, okay? In all three phases of the game, they're critical, offense, defense, and the special teams. And the field positions that the defense has received by Tress Way's punts and not allowing, you know, punt returns for touchdowns, touchbacks, giving them great field position. The defense has benefited off of that. That's where I feel. What about you guys?
You're smart. I think you're right. If you put together a list, maybe I should work on this, of the 10 most valuable Redskins through three quarters of the season, Tress Way makes that list because, as the caller just said, of the import of field position and helping out your defense and starting teams backed up for long drives. You can't call a punter the MVP of a team, though, because their role is just not as important or valuable. It's like trying to vote for a relief pitcher as a most valuable player.
Yeah, you do it five times a game.
Right.
Well, with the Redskins, it's probably more, but you see my point. He's been great. Now, for Kansas City, they have a good punter, a bad punter, everything in between. It doesn't matter that much.
Name their punter.
I can't. I don't know
I'm
New Orleans' punter either.
It's a Colquitt because it's the AFC West, and those guys seem to always just punt for years for AFC West.
There's a dude named Morstead around for some reason.
The punting Colquitts. I'm pulling it up right now.
For New Orleans, it doesn't matter.
Guy, Dustin Colquitt.
It's still Dust Greg Paulson, everybody. Dustin Colquitt from?
Dustin Colquitt from, let me pull it up.
I guarantee you it's like he's a Big 12 guy.
I was going to say Michigan. You ready for it?
Give it to me.
He went to Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right. But for teams that are legitimately good, it doesn't matter. Right? It's a nice to have. It's cool. But you would never think, oh, I hope the field position game works out for us. That's more our offense is a juggernaut, and if we get enough stops, we win a football game 40-20. But when you play the way the Redskins did for most of this season, which is razor-thin margin for error, which is always going to be close, which is can't step on anybody's throat, which is we are not really good, every ancillary thing, every second, third, and fourth tier thing has to be perfect. And it was for Tressway and the kicking game. Dustin Hopkins booming the ball out of the end zone. You better make your field goals because you ain't getting back in enemy territory again.
Here's another way, though, to look at his brilliance this year. If you want to talk about the job you're given, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just put everyone on an even playing field. Who has done the best job asked of them? Who has executed their task most proficiently? Think about this as, you know, at the end of every year in a company, like CK probably does reviews, right? Mm-hmm. Where he sits down with everyone and he grades everyone on a 1 to 10 scale. And he might give me a 5 for my role as a talk show host, and he'll give you a 6 or a 7. It doesn't matter if you are a host or you're a producer or you are on the sales staff, or you're not being graded on the same 1 to 10. You're being graded on, of the job that you had to do, 1 to 10, how did you perform it? So if the person that cleans the bathrooms when we're all gone at midnight got a 9.5 because they were amazing at what they did, they might get the best review. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Tress Way has probably gotten the best review of his job of any Redskin. If you're going 1 to 10 scale, he's had a 9 or a 9.5 season. Let's say Swearinger's had an 8. Who else is in that conversation? Maybe Matt Ioannidis is in that 7 range. I mean, they've been so bad against the run, he's got to take some of the blame because he's a big body up front, I would think, over the last few weeks. But the dude has 7.5 sacks.
It's been amazing.
It's been great. John Allen, same thing. Daron Payne, same thing. Those guys have had really successful seasons. But where I worry about their Pro Bowl consideration, getting sacks, getting pressures, those types of things help. Only Ioannidis really has enough sacks that will really put him over the top in terms of people saying, I can't avoid this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Allen and Payne have a much more reasonable, you know, in that 4 range in terms of sacks, lower number. But when you're a defensive lineman and your defense is not good and it gives up rushing yards by the 130 at a time clip in games, you don't go to the Pro Bowl. So a month ago, I remember sitting in Redskins Park when we used to get to do shows after wins.
Uh-huh.
They have lost 3 in a row, so we have not been there. But we will be, and guess what? The wins that have gone away and dried up at this point, a lot of the time we would, after those shows, talk about, this guy's got to go to the Pro Bowl. I remember saying it about Swearinger. Allen.
We're talking Allen, Ioannidis. He keeps doing this.
At the end of September, you could have thrown another one or two. Dunbar and Foster were in the conversation. Dunbar's hurt, and Foster has completely fallen apart, and in coverage is a liability at this point.
His defense was just mashing people.
It's just crazy. You know, keep talking about all the changes this season, but where is your list? And what does that say about the talent?
Yeah.
What does that say about, we can have all the discussions you want to, Danny, about Jay Gruden and this coaching staff and even Bruce Allen and the front office, but they lack talent. And that's someone's fault. You got to figure out whose fault that is. But if we're saying the punter might have had the best season of anybody at doing his job, that's a huge issue.
Go to October 28th, right before Halloween. Okay, the New Orleans Saints game happened. The Saints put up 40-plus points on everybody, whatever. It's the last time where you go, man, this defense will keep them in everything. They beat the Giants 20-13, and it was due to the end game of Adrian Peterson ripping off that long touchdown run, et cetera. But the defense does it against a bad offense. But still, 13 points in an NFL game, the defense is legit. If somebody went on a world tour, on a vacation, or they slipped into a coma, whatever it was, from October 28th to now, what is it, December 6th, and you had to explain to them what happened to the defense, how would you do that? How would you explain to them, He goes, wait a minute, you mean this defense, this top 10 group that didn't allow rushing yards, that stopped Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, that stopped everybody that they went up against? This team that was turning the ball over and playing great, and Ioannidis was on pace for 12 sacks, and they didn't even have anything from their bookends yet, but you knew Ryan Kerrigan was going to get off. That group is now, this last month, plus really these five games, one of the three worst defenses in the NFL. How would you explain that to somebody?
I can't. I mean, Greg Minuski's going to have to at some point, but I can't figure it out. They can't stop the screen. They're getting screened out of stadiums. They can't stop the run. The very fundamental, basic things you got to get in check that you can game plan for. There is an update, again, on the Alex Smith story from Ian Rappaport.
Oh, man.
And I got to tell you, this is worse. This is not good. He has heard more from sources. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
It is Grant and Danny for our pals at Window Nation. Time is running out. It's Window Nation's deal of the year, and this is the final week for your buy two windows, get two free deal. So you buy two windows, you get two free. You buy four, you get four free. You buy six, you get six free. Grant, I was chuckling yesterday. Chuckling. I dare I say I even guffawed to myself when I got my electricity bill, when I got my heating and cooling bill in my electronic mailing yesterday. It's low. That's because I've got Window Nation windows. They are awesome, and they will save you money, too.
Yeah, they're saving me lots of money. It's been estimated they've saved $40 million worth of energy bills for their clients and folks who use Window Nation windows over the years. You got to call them today at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, so you can save thousands on your bills and take advantage of that buy-two-get-two deal right now where you're not paying interest for 5 years. Save today, save tomorrow, save forever. It's 866-90-NATION. Website is windownation.com. Remember, tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At 1 o'clock in 14 minutes, we will have Will Hobson of the Washington Post on the show. I want to get his reaction to Alyssa Ennis, the ex-girlfriend of Reuben Foster on Good Morning America today, some of what she said. Remember, he did a lot of the journalism in the Post report yesterday about just what the Redskins had done, or in this case, not done, to investigate Foster's domestic violence allegations before they claimed him just a couple of days after he was in jail for allegedly hitting Ennis, who went on TV today to show pictures of her bruises. So we'll talk to Will Hobson coming up at 1. Right now, though, there is football news to tend to. So you've been following through our show and with us throughout the day, the goings-on, the proceedings with Alex Smith. It's getting worse, man. Here is a new report and a new tweet from Ian Rappaport, who's working on this with Mike Garofalo. So earlier in the day, we talked to Eric Bickle. He had tweeted what he was hearing, which was that Alex Smith has had major complications, that his career could be in jeopardy. Well, here's Rappaport. More on Redskins quarterback Alex Smith. He has had several procedures, sources say, adding that they are removing tissue to clear the infection. They're taking tissue out of his leg at this point to try to get rid of this infection. How does that work? Do you put tissue back in?
I don't know, but I can tell you it doesn't sound very good.
Smith still approaches his upcoming recovery with optimism about playing. He also added this note, which is just crazy to think about. So Smith, I get the sense he's been in the hospital more than he hasn't. I don't know if he's been there the entire time, but based on what I'm gathering, he's been in the hospital pretty constantly.
A lot, yeah.
Over the last few weeks. The night that Colt McCoy broke his leg, he was in a hospital room next to Alex Smith, who was still in the hospital at that point. Now remember, Colt McCoy broke his leg in Philadelphia. He had the surgery the next day. So I guess they come back here, they go to the same hospital, McCoy goes and gets his leg repaired, and he was only staying in the hospital for one night. His break was much cleaner. It wasn't the spiral fracture. He had the more non-weight-bearing injury, which was the fibula. The tibia is the worst of the two that you break, and Smith obviously broke both. So McCoy was in and out, and I guess gets in, checks in, says hi to Alex Smith, gets out, checks out, says bye to Alex Smith. I mean, it just makes you feel so bad for Smith. But the point is, they were in hospital rooms, according to Rappaport, next to each other.
Unbelievable.
As the two starting quarterbacks of the Redskins who have had broken bones in their leg.
It's the Redskins quarterback wing at the hospital center.
They used to joke in my hometown. There were four kids in my family, right? The siblings. So it was my parents had my two older brothers, me and my younger sister. And we were all basically within 6 years of each other, which now as an adult just seems like an insane thing that my parents did, by the way. You're basically pregnant for 4 years or for like 5 or 6 years in a row.
I marvel at it whenever I think about it.
It's crazy.
I have two, and the amount of zone defense I play and what I give up on a nightly basis, I'm giving up wide open looks. It's disastrous. There's tears every night. Everyone's upset all the time. How do they do that?
So I think about that, but I also bring it up because we had this doctor's office we used to go to as kids, and we were always there because one of us was sick or something was going on. His family is six with four young kids. So my doctor used to joke that he's like, oh, we're going to they're rebuilding the office. They're like, we're renaming this the Paulson Wing.
The Paulson Wing.
That's the Redskins quarterback wing. Are you here to visit one of the Redskins quarterbacks? Behind this door is Alex Smith. Behind this door is Colt McCoy.
Down the hall to the right. For which one? Oh, both of them. They're all right there.
Man. Again, the report from Rap Sheet here is that there is now a procedure that has to be done or has been done where they are removing tissue from Alex Smith's surgically repaired multiple times over leg, and that he's had, the word was not multiple. Earlier we heard there was multiple. He is saying several procedures have been done. What is several? Is that three is not several, right?
I feel like three is a few or three.
Yeah. A few is three.
You know what I mean?
Several could be four, probably.
But then you're talking medical terms. So anything more than one time could even get to the point that it's several, because it's to convey the significance.
Two is multiple.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, whenever you get to the, we're not talking about donuts here. How many did you have? I had several. This, when it's something this significant, to convey the seriousness of it, you could say several.
The definition of several, more than two, but not many. So I'm going with like three or four.
Yeah. The point is it's more than just, oh, this is standard routine procedure.
Three is actually a crowd.
Three is a crowd, but you wouldn't say Alex Smith has had a crowd of procedures.
I'm just saying, three's a crowd.
Three is definitely a crowd. Tom's got a point on
it. He does have a point there.
If he's had three procedures, that's terrible. If he's had five procedures, I don't know if that's worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, zero already stinks.
Something's not going well.
Yeah. It's not going according to plan.
I hope he plays again. That's all you can say for Alex Smith.
Yeah, I just hope he's okay.
I don't know how anyone could be confident right now that he plays again.
No.
I don't know how anyone can believe the timeline. Remember, wasn't the timeline bumped up?
Well, they initially said 6 to 8 months, and I went, no, that's wrong.
Did they go 8 to 10 to 6 to 8 or vice versa?
I thought
they originally said 6 to 8 and then it was 8 to 10. Is it the other way around?
I don't want to speak out of turn there. But I remember hearing 6 to 8 and being like, that is absolutely ludicrous.
Well,
ludicrous.
There was a story a week ago or so that, you know, the Redskins coaching staff was hopeful he'd be ready for training camp. I don't remember who reported that or what they said. And I remember thinking, that doesn't make any sense.
No way.
The guy's not even walking around Redskins Park yet. He hadn't been seen. Now, Craig Hoffman came on the show, and I thought he made a good point, which is Alex Smith is so private. You don't see him tweeting out updates and saying, surgery went well, and that doesn't mean that it didn't.
There's no hospital picture that everybody takes where they go, here's me in like the hospital gown.
He doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that.
And I like that about him, by the way.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
He's just a super professional 10-year-ago quarterback who's not in on social media and living his entire life for everyone to see. I'm cool with that. But it also, I think people took that as, well, Alex Smith is nowhere to be found. He hasn't done a press conference. He's not speaking. We haven't seen him walk yet. So something is amiss. None of that has to be true, but it is very clear now. And with every hour, we're getting new updates today for whatever reason on this. Rappaport, Garofolo, EB, started last night with Burgundy Blog. This thing is in a bad, bad spot.
I just think if there was inaccuracy being reported, that would come out right away. Or something to this effect, right? Don't you think? Or am I reaching too far there?
No, you're 100%.
In other words, if Rappaport was wrong, and by the way, he's been wrong before, and I'm not ripping the guy. I'm simply
that's
saying
absolutely
that's happened.
The public relations 101, the job would be First of all, before anything's reported, now, EB's not calling the Redskins or asking Tony Wiley, hey, before I get this wrong, you know, he's not, quote-unquote, a reporter. So those two things can get out there. And
he's not beholden to, and to be clear, it's not an EB criticism. He's not beholden to the same standard. If you were with an outlet, right?
But for Rappaport to go with this, for anybody like Breer who's talking about this, or Garofolo, they're not doing it without someone telling them they're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even have to sometimes. I used to say all the time, hey, I don't want to get this wrong. I heard you guys are signing this guy. Is this true or not? To whoever I was talking with. Let's say it was a coach. Let's say it was a player, whatever. And if they say you're on the right track, can't help you, whatever, that's one thing. You need that confirmation. But I'm going to go with this. Tell me I'm wrong that you don't release a statement and not refute incorrect reports that your quarterback may never play again. They released a statement today. It refuted nothing. Basically said, leave us alone.
Said this the day after the game, and this is not a patting myself on the back. This is not me saying I was right. I really do believe, as Redskins fans, as people that consume what this team puts out on a daily basis, I think we underestimated, as a fan base, how serious what happened was. I think, oh, it's a leg break. He'll be back. I think the more that comes out, the graver this situation for the Redskins and for Alex Smith and for everybody involved is and was.
And football takes the back seat. Again, another day we could talk about cap ramifications and the spot that they're in at the quarterback position, which is bad. Right now, I think you got to worry about the human being, the person, Smith himself, the fact that you want him to be able to walk around with his family and have a normal life in 15 or 20 years.
That's where my threshold is, by the way. I like him to be able to walk normally again. I'm not even on the football tip at this point.
Well, how could you be?
Yeah.
I mean, it's December 6th. They got another quarterback in Mark Sanchez getting ready to start, and we don't even know when he's getting out of the hospital or how many more procedures he needs. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Will Hobson of the Post on the show next. Alyssa Ennis on Good Morning America. The hits just keep on coming for the Skins and the Ruben Foster.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.